Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and John Osher.
All right, Mike Dempsey, Johnny O, and Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank Field. It's a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday.
You're darn right it is.
You're darn right it is, buddy. I'm in a good mood today. I can't believe how strong my voice is today. I thought it would be shot. I didn't sing so much as scream every song last night. Had a great time with it. I thought Joan Jett rocked it out for
She's pretty good.
60-something-year-old rocker chick. And there you go. It was outstanding, and it was not. I would say Tony was well below the median age. I was probably just a little below the median age.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I was looking around when I was waiting outside to get in. I was looking around. I was like, wow. I had a couple friends that are all my age. I'm like, we are really skewing this crowd young.
That's awesome, though.
It's awesome. I had a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. Spent way too much money on merchandise.
I can imagine, yeah.
$40 a t-shirt, man. What the heck? Come on.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? It does. It hurt the old wallet last night. $20 for those Crown Royal doubles, by the way.
Huh? I know.
How did they hold up?
They were phenomenal. I thought they were phenomenal.
I'm telling you, I know it's only half the original band, but man, the half that's still there can kick some.
I mean, those are the core of the Who. Any. I mean, those are the.
You can tell they miss Keith a lot. They miss Keith a lot on just the live stuff with his ability to do what he did. But man, those two guys still just killed it last night.
Yeah, I thought I was going in with a little trepidation, a little fear that it might not live up to my memory from days gone by. But it was fantastic. But plenty of Jaguar news to get into today. And you heard Jeff mention it. Stefan Wisniewski. It's something that, you know, they looked at him. He visited a lot of teams out there. Apparently, at one point, the Raiders had offered him, I want to say like a 3 or 4 year deal around $12 million. This is, you know, and he was looking for more. Went out there. They decided to go a different direction. They got Rodney Hudson to come in, paid him big money from Kansas City. So Wisniewski kind of bounced around. He's 26 years old, John. He's played 4 seasons in the NFL. He's been active for 61 games. He started all 61, about 3 seasons at guard, 1 season at center, coming off a shoulder injury. I think that may have knocked down his market value to some degree, but great positional flexibility, starting experience, right there in the wheelhouse on what they look for age range-wise. We've seen them go the one-year route and had some success. Sure. Now, we've seen them swing and miss as well, but, I mean, I don't think there's a downside to this signing whatsoever.
Well, there's really no way on this one to have swung and missed. If it's a one-year deal and for some reason it doesn't work out, then he's off the cap next year. It's a no-risk, no-brainer from that point of view. I'm sure from his point of view, and I haven't seen anybody talk to him yet, this is a situation to come in, win the job, have a good year, and put yourself in a position either here or somewhere else to get the contract he was looking for. From the Jaguars' point of view, again, I don't think you can assume that he comes in and just walks into the starting job, but it certainly gives them you've got Zane Beatles, who could have played better last year, and you've got Luke Wanko, who's a young guy who they like. So he probably starts off, I mean, I would say he starts off competing with Luke, and then there's a chance over at left guard if things don't work out. You've got an option over there that makes sense, and you've got some movability or roster flexibility or whatever you call it.
You know, guys leave teams. Generally, the fan bases look for reasons why that's okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and the Raider fans were looking at some of the reaction over the weekend, were like, well, you know what? If we wanted to bring him back as a guard, I would have felt good about it, not so much as a center. I don't know. I mean, I'm not watching.
Well,
I haven't watched tape of Stefan Wisniewski.
I mean, it's not an insult to Wisniewski. He was out there for 5 weeks. So if he was a guy that was going to come in and you expected him to play at a Pro Bowl level immediately and was a no-brainer, everything was a strength, he would not have been out there for 5 weeks. So he comes in needing to prove himself, certainly on that level, and needing to show what role he's going to play. He's not going to be handed anything. And if it was different, he'd have been signed within the first 4 or 5 days of free agency. But from the Jaguars' point of view, it's very much a why not. It feels like Cinderic and Roy and those guys who you signed, and you really hope that it works out. If they're re-signing him next year and you're feeling great about it, then boy, what a signing this was.
Yeah, some people were speculating on Jaguar Twitter this weekend as well, and it makes some sense. You see what you've gotten him. with one eye maybe kind of still glancing at Alex Mack, who can opt out of that deal that he signed with Cleveland after this upcoming season. Well, I mean, in the sense that you got a guy who knows an elite guy at his position, okay? Got hurt last year, but certainly wasn't opposed to coming here and joining a Jacksonville team that seemed less talented at that time than it is right now. So who knows how that works out, you
know? It's always tricky to try to predict. It's such a year-to-year league on that front. It's tough to predict that happening, but sure.
Why it's not a variable that you keep an eye on. It's not so, like you said, you can't plan on it.
You.
But you'd say, okay, well, I could see these pieces coming together. Maybe Wisniewski plays great and he earns an extension on his own, and then you're solidified. And here's what Peter King, who, you know, he's not the end-all be-all, but this is what he had to say about it in his Monday Morning Quarterback column. He said, I think Jacksonville got a bargain at 1 year, 2.5, with an established center, Stefan Wisniewski, who was downgraded because of questions about an injured shoulder. It's a risk, but if it works, the Jags will have a top-10 center. That, according to Peter King, who, you know, I don't think he's basing that on his own evaluation as much as he's basing that on the people he talks to and what they're telling him.
Well, and if the shoulder, and again, I don't know what his shoulder situation is, but if it's not, if he can't go for some reason, they do have Buenco, who they like. So it's an add-on. It's let's see if we can get better at this spot. They're certainly not holding their breath. If Wisniewski's the starter, then they're not holding their breath going, oh, man, what do we do if that shoulder's not right after four games? Because they like Buenco. So it's a good situation, and as I've been saying for a couple of years, the team needs to get to a point where there's more than one good player at different positions. You would like to have eight good offensive linemen, not four.
Right, absolutely. And the question today the Tom Bush Family Dealerships presents to you is this: with the addition of Jeremy Parnell, and now Stefan Wisniewski, offensive line certainly at times was a major sore spot last year, do you feel like the Jags have done enough to rectify their offensive line? Do you feel good about the group they have now going forward, or do you think there's still work to be done in that regard?
It's probably, it shouldn't be overlooked that part of Greg Olsen, who Wisniewski played for 2 years, a big part of Greg's philosophy is not giving up sacks. And, of course, every offensive coordinator would like not to give up sacks, but he believes in getting the ball out quick, recognizing blitzes. You would think that Wisniewski has a good handle on what Greg wants and could be a good fit on that front. I don't know the details of how that'll work, but it certainly is not coincidental. I wouldn't think that Wisniewski came here with Greg Olsen.
Oh, no question, which I got to believe makes you feel a little bit better, too, as just your offense coordinator had to sign off on, this is a guy I think would work with what we want to do and can still play. And, you know, we're not going to break the bank for him, but let's see if he's able to compete and be healthy and improve this offensive line. So we'll talk about that today. Talk about Mercedes Lewis restructuring his deal. Looks like he's going to be around. Off-season conditioning program starts today for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number of guys in town getting underway. Denard Robinson says he should be the number one running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. We'll get into all that and a lot more coming up for you today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, John Osier from Jaguars.com, and Fat Tony here with you. We're live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Yeah, attaboy. Get it yesterday. Get it today. Got it all the way home.
We got plenty last night.
Yes, we did. I got some numbers, according to Joel Corey, certified NFL agent. Thanks to, I'd like to tell you who gave me the heads up on Twitter, but I don't want to change pages right now because the computer is really a little temperamental, and I might not be able to get back. Robert Kemp Jr., thank you very much, at Robert Kemp Jr. 1, gave me the heads up on this. And Joel Corey tweeted out some details on Mercedes Lewis' renegotiated contract, and if you take these as gospel, that's up to you, but I'm just passing along the information. No reason to doubt it. Said Mercedes was set to make $6.8 million in 2015, cut his salary to $2.6 $5 million, and can earn a maximum of $3 million more in what are described as not likely to be earned playing time incentives. Okay, his salary breaks down this way. He gets a $250,000 signing bonus, $2 million base salary, and then a $400,000 total in per game roster bonuses on top of that. So Presuming he's on the roster, he'll earn the full 2.65 there with a chance to earn more in incentives as well. The Jags gain $4.4 million in cap room, and his cap number reduces from $8.2 million down to $3.85 million. Corey goes on to say Lewis and Posluszny's negotiations or renegotiations weren't necessary for salary cap purposes. Obviously, Jags flush with cap space, John. But Tony and I talked with Dave Caldwell about a number of things right after free agency. We all have, right? And one of the things we asked him about was Mercedes. And he didn't, I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but the clear implication, Tony, that he gave us was that, well, we'd like to have Mercedes back, probably not at that figure,
yep.
Right? We didn't think he was going to play for that number
right.
This year. Been a lot of talk, are you allowed to reduce a veteran's salary if you're not in salary cap? I'm not sure how this works, because
yeah.
This seems like a clear reduction in salary for Mercedes Lewis.
I think it was pretty clear they didn't. It was pretty clear they weren't going to bring him back at that number. You really can't go to a guy and say we have to. You can't pressure it. The agent and the player in this case may have known, I want to play for the Jaguars. I want to be there. It's probably not going to happen unless we do something with the contract. So mutual agreement, my guess would be this was mutual agreement.
Yeah, however,
yeah.
It got done. It got done.
Right. And I'll say my guess,
yeah.
it was mutual agreement.
Right. His very, very educated guess
right.
on this
well,
one.
He wants to be here. And
he made that clear, right? You saw his comments after the deal got done.
Right. And so there's no reason for him not to be here. I wouldn't be surprised if they looked around, tried to figure out, was he on the trading block? Who knows what the trading block is? Would they have traded him for the right deal? I assume so.
You'd trade anyone
so
for
that
the right
gets
deal.
Out, and the agent and the player say, I want to be in Jacksonville. I don't want to, so they figure out a way to get it done. Dave Caldwell likes to have the cap in the way that it should be, meaning doesn't like to have Posluszny and Lewis playing at too high a number.
Regardless of cap space. This is
yes.
what he feels their value is.
Right.
And let's get it in that range.
Long-term, philosophically, good to have that situation where next year a different situation can't go and say, well, you had the precedent of this and this and this. No, this is how we do things here.
And that's really the advantage of it, is not having to pay as much money, because either way, as I understand it, you create more cap space now, which you can roll over.
Mm-hmm.
But had Mercedes come off the books next year, you would have gotten it back that way as well,
sure.
right? That would have, so either way, you're going to create the same general amount of cap space in 2016 if Mercedes Lewis is not back with the team.
Correct.
Right? So it wasn't a matter of we're doing this with the foresight that we're going to have this much more money. It's like you said, this is the value. And now I look, and I'm not trying to get giddy here, but I was pretty excited this weekend. Just
you seem excited.
Well, I am excited.
You're the who.
I am the who.
Contracts.
I know, right?
A lot going on.
I'm all jacked up on an energy drink this morning, so, who's to say what's going to come out of my mouth?
I see you last night screaming with the who.
I was screaming.
You got your smartphone out going over some contract numbers.
I was not, actually.
You're in a good spot.
You know what? I got a text.
Eating a dandy sub.
I'm just going to say this. I got a text from Tyler yesterday. And he said, we have a guest on who covers the Eagles tomorrow. And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
I don't know. Why would we do that? I don't know. And then.
You asked, is he going to the who?
Then, right. And then I got home and I said, oh, now I see why he's asking. Now we're probably okay. We're probably okay
on
that score. So I was, my smartphone was out, but I was taking many a photo last night. But anyway, you hope Luke Jokel, who's going to have the best season of his career. That's your hope. That's what
sure.
I'm saying. Hope. You got Zane Beatles, who most people feel the last six games of the season played better mm-hmm. than he did the first 10 games of the season. So you've got Wisniewski in the mix with Bowanko to push maybe Bowanko and or Beatles to improve three guys for two spots.
And not to interrupt, but remember, one thing that's always very easy to forget, not to interrupt, but I will interrupt. it's always easy to forget when you're talking in April about the team, that over 16 games, guys get hurt. So, and that's a reality. So when people write in and say, oh, they should cut Tyson, or they should cut Mercedes, or why do you sign Wisniewski if you like Buenga? Because over the course of the NFL, how many times on Monday are we writing this guy's out for 5 weeks? You know, it's
sure.
Okay to have some flexibility where if Beatles is out for a game, somebody can slide over and play that spot and you're not worried. Julius Thomas, if he can't go, now you've got a guy who has played the position and can do things. And Olsen,
look at where they were
out.
Last year,
right.
when Mercedes was hurt, when Clay Harbor was banged up. I mean,
right.
It is
not a 22-man gang.
So now you feel great about Linder
sure.
coming off that year, and you feel great about Parnell. You hope that feeling is justified, but they feel great based on what they saw on film. And, you know, so they bring him and say, you feel like the offensive line's in a better spot, right? You've got Julius Thomas as a weapon, a true weapon, a proven weapon. You got Mercedes Lewis, who, again, at a reduced number with his experience, all the things you just laid out, you feel good about that position as a whole. You've got the two young receivers. You've got your quarterback. I'm not advocating, but I'm saying if it were to go this way and they took Amari Cooper with the third pick in the draft, right, now you're feeling this is pretty good right here. You got Cooper and Robinson and Lee and Hearns. And then, all right, second, third, fourth round, somewhere along those lines, we get that other running back to bring in with Denard, with Toby Gerhart. All of a sudden, you got an offense, right? I mean, on paper, you've got an offense. You've got the pieces. You don't feel like you have a glaring hole.
The glaring hole part is the key. And now you, again, at least on paper, you've got to think that you've gotten – I never think that free agents are a guarantee. But you've got to think that you've gotten better and more solid. And on the offensive line, you're more veteran, which means you should have fewer guys before the snap of the ball and in the first instant after the snap of the ball looking around going, huh, what's up? You know, there should be fewer of those because you've gotten older over here. You've gotten more experienced. You're growing anyway with what you've got. And then, as you say, I can't believe they're not going to add a running back in the first two or three, in the first two or three rounds, maybe the fourth. Wide receiver, who knows? But everything else, you should just be better because there are no glaring holes.
Yeah, and it's something I think to start to get excited about on that side of the football. Clearly deficient compared to the defense last year. The defense,
and they talked two or three years ago, remember, they talked about how it was going to take time. If you were starting with what was close to a blank slate, it's hard to fill in with guys you feel good about, with veterans, or with highly drafted rookies with talent. It's hard to find 25, 30 spots, which is what you're trying to do, in 1 year or 2 years. There's just not enough draft picks. There's not enough quality out there on the free agent market each year to go after. So this, in their minds, should have been the time where you started, as you had that depth chart on the wall, feeling good about most of the spots. I wouldn't say they feel great about every spot, but they feel a lot better about most of the spots than they did 2 years ago.
Give me just, and this all we're doing here is pure speculation because nobody knows what Dave Caldwell's really thinking about these draft picks. Shouldn't know, and he did a great, proved he can do a great job keeping his own counsel. What percentage?
I like that phrase, keeping your own counsel.
Eh, not bad. What percentage in the Osier mind is the idea that they might draft an Amari Cooper or a player like that in the top 10? Whether they stay at 3 or slide back a few spots, either way, what percent out of 100 would you give that option?
Well, the percentage has changed dramatically if there's a trade with Cleveland, because then all of a sudden you've got 2. So it's hard to answer the question. If they've got 2, I can't believe it wouldn't be pass rush or running back. That's just kind of, I like that combination if they go back to 12 and 19. Barring that, if they just slide back to 5 to 6 and they're still in that 3 to 6 range, it's still hard for me to come off the theory quarterback, tackle, and with those first 3 prime picks of Dave Caldwell's career, if you follow me. You know,
sure.
Luke, Blake, and then the pass rusher. That feels like such a fit, it's hard to come off of it. But I'll say again, I am much more I think wide receiver is more of a possibility than I did 2 months ago.
Tony, what about you? Percentage-wise that it could go? If they, let's say they trade back, they don't get the two picks this year. They're somewhere in the top 10
right.
with their pick, either at three or somewhere in that range, percent that they go wide receiver.
Unless they feel about the same about all the receivers, like we've been talking about the defensive ends for a while, they could feel very similar about Beasley and all these guys, which is why they'd be willing to move back. Unless they felt the same way about wide receiver, my guess is they'd be moving back to draft whatever end is left to them. Right. I think if they're going to fall in love with the receiver, I think it would be Cooper. And I'm not sure they'd feel comfortable moving past four if Cooper's the guy they want. So if they trade it back, I think it makes it less likely that they're targeting wide receiver. Now, if they move back to eight or nine, and for whatever reason there's a run on whatever ends they liked, and they're all gone for whatever reason, and they say, look, okay, we'll take Devontae Parker or whoever it is who they liked almost as much as Amari Cooper. I could see that happening, but if they move back, it indicates to me that they like a bunch of the defensive ends about the same.
What percent do you give it, wide receiver?
If they move, probably 10%.
If they move, 10%.
If they stay, I still think it's a 15 to 20.
Yeah, I'd say if they stay, it's about 10%. Yeah. And if they move, I think you make the good case that the logic dictates you with Oakland staring him at the very next pick, and if you really love a guy enough to take him there, they've shown they weren't going to risk missing out on Blake Bortles.
Right.
Would you risk missing out on a true difference maker? And the idea that you would take for this team right now at this moment in time, a wide receiver in the top 10, I've got to believe you'd have to feel that strongly about him, that Amari Cooper is going to come in and be a true NFL number one top of the depth chart guy. And if that's the case, you don't move.
Want him to be what you think Beckham's going to be.
Right.
What you've seen different guys be, where he's a reason why you're good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what you got to be.
And what do you do when you have a young quarterback that you believe in? You give him the weapons to prove you right or wrong.
I mean,
right?
The intriguing thing is, can you move back to eight? What are you getting to move back for eight? Are you getting somebody's second round pick to do that? That you can package with your second round pick and get back up to 22, 23 to get a running back. Does that give you some mobility? You know, that's something that you can talk about and talk about and talk about. Very hard to speculate until it actually happens.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the eighth pick, as a matter of fact. We'll get into that.
And I was just throwing
here.
That out there.
Well, yeah. Well, the reason being, I talked with D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this weekend, and he does mock drafts, and in his latest one, he specifically has a player in mind that he thinks the Falcons love and would be a good trading partner with. Obviously, Dave Caldwell's got a history
sure.
with their front office and has them moving up to the third pick to make a selection. So we'll go through that coming up here in a minute, give you an idea of, because we mentioned the Jets coming up for Mariota. We don't, you mentioned Cleveland. There aren't too many teams we focus in on. This is a new one to me, at least to take a look at. So we'll do that coming up. 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get on board as well. You can tweet the show at MD_1010XL, at John Osier, at 1010XL Fat Tony as well. Today's fan feedback spotlight question of the day asking you, with the additions of Jeremy Parnell and Stefan Wisniewski, do you feel like the Jags have done enough to address a porous offensive line based on the way they played last season? That is the question of the day, and it is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Wild West Guns and Gold brings you the show every Monday. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, from revolvers to sporting arms, everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the United States of America, guaranteed. And as John Osier knows well, you can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. South Lane Avenue is where they're located. Call 693-0777 to visit Guns4Jacks. That's Guns, the number 4, JAX.com for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today.
Did they play Eminence Front?
They did.
They did? Okay,
good.
It was
good. Outstanding.
Was it a put-on?
It was a put on.
Honestly, it was unreal. Like, Eminence Front may have been my favorite track of the entire night.
They killed it.
Townsend just let it go. Like, he let the beast out of the cage.
A buddy of mine used to sing that, put the women in front.
Really? Prosser, we got to do a top five of misheard lyrics
misheard
one
song
night,
lyrics.
Right? Prosser, I think it was his wife, maybe. The song More Than a Woman from Saturday Night Fever?
Yeah.
Bald-headed woman.
Yeah, bald-headed woman.
right.
Bald-headed woman to me.
My eyes are Georgia. I always thought it was mine's in Georgia. Like, I never laid a hand on you. Mine's in Georgia. My girlfriend's in Georgia. Anyway, moving along.
That's a pretty good one, though.
And I told my buddy that, and he goes, nah, I like it my way.
I'm going to keep singing it the way I sing it. Oh, it's very disappointing now that I know what the real lyric is. All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. We will get to some thoughts from D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, on the Falcons' desire to trade up and perhaps have the Jags on the mind as a trading partner. Let's go to Jerome on the phones right now on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jerome.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Good. What's up, man?
I got two things real quick. One, I think I'm starting to have a change of heart. You know, I've been on the Amari Cooper bandwagon, but the more I've been looking at Dante Fowler, it's his motor. I think it's just a nonstop, and it's just like a Tasmanian. He just keeps going and going. Even though he's out of the play, he finds a way to get into the play or be around the ball or be around the play. And I think I'm starting to have a change of heart toward him. And so, I mean, I'm kind of like thinking, all right, well, it wouldn't be bad if they do draft Fowler over Williams because of the linebacker or the rush. It's just the motor that he has.
All right.
Another thing is, with the second pick, I mean, where do you see them going? Because I understand that Dave said that he doesn't expect the second pick to start, but at least get starting reps or come in at certain plays or whatever. What position or player do you see them addressing with the second pick?
All right, we'll take that first. Thank you, Jerome. First of all, I think that what Dave Caldwell was saying is that we don't feel the necessity
right.
to have to have a starter walk in the door. They're very open to if the right
sure.
guy lands there, having him take a spot. In fact, that's generally preferable, your first couple of picks. And when you're picking in the top 40 with both
yeah.
of them to come in and make an impact. Like
and again,
that.
What he means when he says that is as you're planning for the draft, you like to be in the situation where you're not sitting in the second and third round saying to yourself, okay, we are in real trouble if we don't get an outside linebacker in the second round because we don't know who will start unless we draft one. So the second round, I would expect the second round pick this year, if it's number 36, if he doesn't start by the beginning of the season to be in the starting lineup and to be a very solid player, as you said, in the top 40, that should happen. So don't necessarily think that because David Caldwell said that the second round pick won't start, I guess is all I'm saying. And again, I continue to think that I would be surprised if it's not running back with a second pick at this point.
I don't know if I'd be surprised. I think it's logical that it could be mm-hmm. a running back at that point. I'm starting to take a shine to David Cobb, the running back out of Minnesota, who you probably can get at least a round, if not two rounds later. Said to be very adept at zone running. And so anyway, we'll see. Maybe they love Ajayi or Tevin Coleman or you name the guy and
right.
feel like they've got to get him in the drop off from him to the next available running back when they pick in the third round will be that steep. But I could see, I mean, the right outside linebacker,
mm-hmm.
I could absolutely see that. The right guy in the secondary that you feel, whether he's a corner or a pure safety, that could be converted to play
right.
free safety and project as an eventual starter for you at that position. Or, you know, really, it depends as well if we're assuming they go defensive line with the first pick. Well, what if they don't? And then I think that opens it up to certainly that, you know, defensive line is in play with that selection. So there are a lot of ways they could go wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about what about Amari Cooper at 3? Well, what about getting Dante Fowler and a receiver you love is sitting there at 36? I don't think that's out of the question either.
Well, again, let's not forget they were 3-13. So there's probably going to be a player at 36 who can help you an awful lot. And again, I think Dave Caldwell's situation is more, he's very glad that he'll have a choice at that spot rather than feeling like, if I don't get a right tackle here, then I don't know who I'm going to line up. So we've never really known what his draft strategy is beforehand. I think this year he's in a situation where maybe he doesn't know exactly who he might take in the second round, and I think he likes that. And that's
far,
a good thing, by the way.
Yeah, as far as the relentlessness of Dante Fowler and the way he plays, you hear most of the scouts comment on that, on him, that, you know, that, that is something that's going to be very attractive to, Gus Bradley and the, you know, the organization in general.
Yeah, there's something interesting with fans around here, and I'm not saying it's all of them, but I get questions along these lines. Why would they take Fowler? Because look what happened to Derek Harvey. You know, and that's a thing that in the perception around here, there's something in the water there. And well, he didn't get a lot of sacks at Florida. You know, there are some buts because Florida wasn't very good last year. So, or wasn't as good as they're used to being. And there wasn't a whole lot of publicity about all the Gators players that you're used to from 4 or 5 years ago. That perception of Fowler, whatever that is, I think you know what I'm getting, you know, that, oh, he's not a superstar. He didn't produce in college. When I went to Florida games, he didn't jump out at me. That sort of perception about Fowler is not shared by most football people that you talk to about him. Most football people that you talk to about him. There's a reason he's projected at 3.
And in terms of productivity,
he's better than that perception. Is what
right.
I'm getting at.
Just because you have great productivity like Vic Beasley does, right, that isn't a guarantee of success either. Look at Jarvis Jones a couple of years ago. A lot of people thought he was the best player in the draft. Had led the SEC in sacks 2 years in a row. He's now in a make-or-break year for him as, as a non-impactful linebacker for the Steelers up until this point.
And that year was the year the football people were right in that a lot of people you talked to had big – that's why he slipped. You know, a lot of people you talked to had big questions, and nobody thought he was going number one by the time that, you know –
But nobody could argue with his track record of productivity in a great conference, you know, and getting the job done. Here's some thoughts from Dear Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He does first round, full mock draft for the whole round, not just focusing on the Falcons. He's pretty plugged in with the Falcons' way of thinking.
Yes, okay? He is. He has a very good job.
He thinks that they are very high on Dante Fowler because he feels like for Dan Quinn – They don't want a guy like Vic Beasley, who they don't feel can play defensive end on first down. They don't, you know, Shane Ray, Randy Gregory, all these guys are too small. That's the one thing that Fowler has. Tony, was it Rob Rang we had on last week?
Mm-hmm.
And we said, what does Fowler do better than Beasley? He said, eat.
Eat.
Okay.
Yeah,
he eats better. He's a bigger person. And that, so with that, he went back a couple of years ago when Cleveland traded up from 4 to 3 and what they had to give up. And he based, he said the Browns moved up into the fourth spot to the third spot. This is to get Trent Richardson.
Good trade.
They get right. They gave up a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh. So, think about that. Now, they gave up the fourth pick in the draft and 3 more additional picks to get Trent Richardson.
They got him.
They did get him. They got their man. And fortunately for them, the Colts bailed him out by giving up a first round pick, which was not as valuable as everything that they gave up, but a
talk
better
about
return
the
you could
equity given up for Trent Richardson.
Right. The multiple first rounders and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a little bit Falcon friendly that he projects here. He said the price to move up 5 spots from 8 to 3 would be a little bit steeper. But the Falcons need to hold on to their second round pick. Well, not if you want Dante Fowler,
right,
pal. Okay. I mean, you may need it, then you don't need Dante Fowler. Regardless, he said he'd like to see if the Jags would be interested in next year's third plus a fifth and a seventh to drop to 8th. I don't know if Dave Caldwell is going to feel it depends on how he feels about what he can get at 8 and how he feels about how much of an impact player Dante Fowler would be in this spot.
And again, there may be a situation there where, and this is sort of confusing to enunciate over the radio, but Dave's thought on moving back there may be, okay, what do I get from the Falcons? This is all in theory, obviously. What do I get from the Falcons? And is what I get from the Falcons enough to package with my second round pick and have some flexibility to move back up into the first round if that's what I want to do? There may be some thinking there of, okay, I'm fine with doing that because I've already talked to Team X, and if the Falcons are giving me a third and a fourth next year, I've already talked to Team X, and they'll take that third and a fourth to let me move back up. Well, then that makes some sense. So you don't know what he's hearing about what he's going to need to do, what else he wants to do, if that makes any sense. Maybe it didn't. But what he's willing to do to come off of 3 – may have to do with what he gets for coming off of three, and if he can use that to move around in the draft where he wants to go, which we don't know.
The point being on all this, though, the specifics of the details of what the compensation would be are moot, because he's just throwing darts at the board.
Sure.
But I think what is interesting is he's pretty plugged in, and I think the sense that there is great interest in Dante Fowler in Atlanta, and they realize they can't sit at eight and hope that he falls to them, and they really don't like these other guys nearly as much on the same level. Keep in mind, in this...
That's the sort of scenario that makes for good trades both ways.
Right, potentially.
Right, because the Jaguars, I don't think, are as insistent on having that sort of size at that position as the Falcons. So then all of a sudden there's need and there's legitimate reasons for wanting to move around. Go ahead.
And well, the way it played out in his mock draft, and we think it's realistic or not, he had to go in Winston, Leonard Williams, too. I think there's just a growing feeling that Mariota's going too, whether it's to Tennessee or to somebody moving into that spot, that there's enough out there. Now, that could be wrong, but in that scenario, you're sitting there. I mean, I think
his scenario works either way, even if it's Mariota.
Right, but I guess the point being, if Mariota goes second, right, and you got a choice. If you're the Jags, wow, maybe we didn't expect Leonard Williams to be there. Maybe we grade him even higher than Fowler. Maybe we're not willing to trade out of that spot if he's available. And if Mariota is there at three, I think you're going to get a better offer than next year's third, a fifth, and a seventh to move back, from a team willing to come up.
Because if Mariota's there at three, then you might not get as good offer as you think, because
maybe they've already passed on.
Yeah, clear. Right. I mean, if Mariota's there at three, then the interest is not as high as you're thinking it is.
Or Tennessee loves Leonard Williams, and the price to move out of that spot would be a little bit, higher than it would be if he weren't available to them. So
we saw
really
that
knows.
Last year.
If the Eagles are moving, would they package Tebow up to do that, or is that
to Tennessee? I'm
no,
sure.
But we saw that last year with the Jags at three, weren't willing to move out of that spot because they love Blake Bortles. Oakland was willing to move because Buffalo desperately wanted to get up and get Sammy Watkins. They thought they had to get to three with Jacksonville if they were going to get that done. Turns out they didn't, but they made that offer to Jacksonville. Jacksonville said, no, we're taking Bortles at the fourth pick. They made that trade. Oakland was willing to move out of that spot. It's kind of the same thing. If that team wants that player, just because they offered that deal to Tennessee and Tennessee said, no, we want Leonard Williams, we're not willing to pass up on that opportunity, Jacksonville's not in that same position now.
All right, 641-1010 if you'd like to get in. A Wild West Guns and Gold Monday continues. We've got this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL coming up next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Explain this one to me, Johnny O. 1944, the NFL legalizes coaching from the bench. Where do they allow coaching from prior to allowing coaching from the bench?
I got nothing on that.
The booth?
Yeah, 1944?
The huddle?
Right.
1944, NFL legalizes coaching from the bench. Not sure what the backstory is on that one.
I'm sure all those coaches were relieved at that point.
Well, that's what you got. Birthdays on this date. Happy birthday, Stephen Orr Spurrier, born 1945. Yes, you know him better for his college exploits, but played a long time with the San Francisco 49ers from 1967 through 1975, at which point he had a winning record as quarterback in the NFL, 13-12-1, and then he joined the expansion Bucks and promptly went 0-12 with a very Tim Tebow-esque completion percentage of 51.9 for Stephen Orr Spurrier. So happy 70th to Stephen Spurrier, former Jaguar kicker. John Carney, born on this date in 1964, is 51st. And, boy, this one makes me feel even older than I am. Born in 1991, one of the best, if not the best, linebackers in the National Football League. Happy birthday, 24 years young, Luke Kuechly. 24 years old, born in 1991. People have been born in the 90s and are now full-grown adults doing things and such.
That's right, accomplishing much more than
Much more than we've ever done, okay? this state football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission, to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product for you at a competitive price and give you unsurpassed customer service in the bargain as well. They'll give you a professional free estimate at your convenience if you call them at 268-1638 or simply visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Well, according to Adam Kaplan of ESPN, the Vikings are looking for quite a haul if they are going to trade running back Adrian Peterson. Kaplan said the Vikings would be looking for a first-round pick and more in order to consider trading Peterson.
Good
luck with that. It certainly sounds like the Vikes are fine with having Peterson in their uniform next season, but the question remains whether or not Peterson is willing to stick around in Minnesota. Peterson not expected to report for the Vikings offseason training that starts today. That is business as usual for Adrian, who is routinely missed out during those workouts at this point in the year. Works out on his own, and it's not part of his bonus. He has a $250,000 bonus that's attached to 90% participation in OTAs and offseason activities. $250,000 I've seen written, I think on Pro Football Talk, I saw this morning, if he puts that next to the $13 million contract, is he willing to hold out through even that if it means that he feels like he'll get the trade that it seems like right now Adrian Peterson wants? And Tim Tebow is back in the National Football League, this time with the Philadelphia Eagles. You haven't heard about this. What rock have you been hiding under? Tebow is expected to sign a one-year contract with the team, report for offseason training as early as today. He'll be the fourth or fifth quarterback, depending on how you want to look at it, at the depth chart right now.
So you're saying he's not back yet because he hasn't signed the deal?
Today, he might have signed it this morning, but
I'm guessing. I have no idea. Well, hey, that's true. I'm guessing somewhere later on this network, maybe you'll get a second-by-second watch to see when he puts
it. Well, it was interesting. You know, I was on the way in for Jaguars Today this morning, and Will Brinson was on with the guys on the drill from CBS Sports, and he had a theory with Tim regarding the last two stops he's had in the NFL. He said he felt like, and he doesn't have any inside information on this, this is just him guessing at this, but he felt like Urban Meyer called in a favor with Bill Belichick, and that's the reason Tim got the look in New England in 2013, and he thinks somebody at Nike talked to Chip Kelly and said, give Tim a shot. I have no idea if there's any credence to that. That's Will Brinson saying that earlier today on the drill here on 1010XL 92.5.
Yeah, Jason Lockett, Bora, had a theory. And it makes some sense. Tyler pointed me this to this. He tweeted it out in a series of tweets that there's still discussion with the NFL owners' meetings in May coming up that they could move the two-point conversion to the one-yard line, right? Chip Kelly, when he was at Oregon, they've continued it since he's left, always went for two on the mm-hmm. first touchdown they scored. The feeling is he's more of a gambler than a lot of coaches. He'd be more willing to go for it. I mean, if you're successful 51% of the time, you're coming out ahead,
sure,
right, in the overall. And that is tough to deny. In that circumstance, he's a pretty tough guy to stop, right, when you've got that run-pass option. And if you are going to put it at the one, I'd love to see a coach really just eliminate extra points, unless it was, you know, fourth quarter and you're trying to tie the game, something like that. For the most part, just go for it, go for it, go for it. Because if you're successful more than half the time, you're putting the other team at a pretty significant disadvantage, and maybe you get them out of their comfort zone and they have to start playing to match you. But who knows? That's just another theory out there. Then there's the theory that Chip Kelly just thinks he can make the roster as a quarterback.
Take a look. They worked him out a couple weeks ago, and maybe he just thought about it for a couple weeks. He's got a quarterback with offseason training starting here in the next week or so where, you know, Sam Bradford still isn't ready to throw. Coming off that, he's still not ready to work out. So maybe he feels like he needs a fourth arm while they're there in camp doing whatever they're going to be doing, just to have another quarterback there. And why not Tim with the style of offense that he tries to run? Although if you look at Chip Kelly in 2011, we don't run the style of offense that Tim Tebow would fit in. That's his direct quote.
He said, he goes, I look for a quarterback. This is Chip Kelly. I look for a quarterback who can run and not a running back who can throw. I want a quarterback who can beat you with his arm. We're not a Tim Tebow type of quarterback team. I'm not going to run my quarterback 20 times on power runs. That was Chip Kelly in 2011.
I wonder if they chatted about that quote.
Don't know. Don't know. But there you have it. Who among us couldn't use a fourth arm, right, from time to time?
Right.
You know, so there's always that as well.
I just, If it's going to work for him, regardless of what Chip said, this feels like the offense that it could work.
Yep.
And the two-point thing makes sense. I mean, are we going to have a trend in the league if they move the 2 points to the one-yard line of more people having two-point specialists? If it works for one team, you might see that you might see people try that.
From the one-yard line, it would be plausible.
You sure.
know, I mean, to do that much more so than even from the two, obviously. And you know, if you, and then if you accompany that with moving the extra point back to say the 15, and the risk factor goes up to where instead of making 99.9%, you're right, making 97.3%, then you know, somebody will crunch the numbers,
sure,
and realize that, you know, it's better. There was, who was the guy? I think a coach tried this in college at a lower level, but there was a theory out there, an analytics theory, that basically, with rare exception, you should always go for it on fourth down. Rare exception, regardless of game circumstance or field position, that the amount of times you're going to convert it and what that means to you.
It feels like a high school around here did that.
Did they?
I thought
a college, like somewhere, yeah, out in Montana or something, tried it too. Some coach basically tried it. I mean, yeah, obviously, it's, we can do it 100% of the time, but like when you're at your own 25, you would go for it if it were fourth and reasonable distance, because the amount of times you're going to convert that versus the amount of times, even if you turn it over at that spot, you end up stopping the other team, you get a turnover, that the numbers would bear out if you had the willingness to do it in the long haul, that it would work well in your favor. But how many coaches have the job security? And, you know, coaches
say,
are so conservative. I don't remember. I really don't remember how it.
Nice
it,
tease.
Yeah, I know. Well, what about the high school coach? What do you know, I, anything on that?
I did just find that high school coach. The high school coach's name is Kevin Kelly. He coaches at Little Rock Pulaski Academy in Arkansas. He's been doing it for about 12 years. His teams are 1-24-22, so the guy's winning a lot. Won 3 state titles, and here is some stats on the fourth down conversion rate. He actually has a conversion rate of 50%, and he also never onside kicks it, and he recovers onside kicks at a rate of 20%, so the guy takes a lot of risk.
So he always onside kicks.
Always onside kicks, and always goes for it in fourth down, and the guy's won 3 state titles in the last 10 years. That is the high school level, though, so.
Obviously, but, you know, anecdotally. Now, there's a guy who's got some numbers to back something up right there.
I bet opposing coaches hate him.
Tyler
Whoever that
got
guy
cookie.
Is that they were just talking about, they hate. Because I don't like playing against those guys on, like, Madden.
Oh,
I can't imagine
it, right,
in real life how aggravated I would be. It's 4th and 7. Punt the ball.
Right.
We beat you.
We finally
stopped
you.
On that series, we beat you.
And that's why it's probably so successful. It is frustrating.
And here is an interesting theory of why that high school coach goes for it. He says that when he does onside kicks, the average starting spot is at the 47-yard line. When he did kickoffs, actually kicked it to the other team, they only got it at the 33-yard line. So he figured, hey, why go for it? And let's always onside kick it, always go for it in fourth down, because there's only a 14-yard difference whether we give it to him or we onside kick. So take that chance,
The further up you go and the better kicking you have.
Absolutely.
Is going to change that. So Tyler Devitt bordering on a savant this morning for us with his statistical
on a Wild West Guns and Gold, by the way.
Fantastic by you. By the way, coming up, I want to talk for a minute about an event coming to Jacksonville, coming to the fairgrounds really this week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We have great friends at St. John the Divine Greek Orthodox Church, big sponsors of ours. They always make our Super Bowl trip every year possible, and a lot of the folks in the Greek business community support this show and have for years, not just Jaguars Today, but all my shows here on 1010XL. The Jacksonville Greek Festival is coming to the fairgrounds Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and you're going to get what you expect. You're going to get a lot of Greek culture, music, games, delicious food, absolutely fantastic atmosphere, and tickets are so reasonable. In fact, if you go Thursday and Friday between 11 and 1, admission's free. You get right in, but overall, festival admission, just $3. Children under 12 get in for free. Military members get in for free with their IDs as well. Here at the Jacksonville Fairgrounds, Thursday from 11 to 9, Friday from 11 to 10, and then Saturday from 11 to 10. So go check it out. I'll be heading out there probably Friday afternoon to sample some of that Greek cuisine myself, the Jacksonville Greek Festival. And you can go to jacksgreekfest.com for more information on that. All right, coming up, we'll take more of your calls at 641-1010. More on the Jags and a busy weekend that they had with Wisniewski added to the fold, a restructuring for Mercedes Lewis. Mike Dempsey, John Osier of Jaguars.com, and Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Johnny O, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field. Getting there. Getting there. Good tune, by the way, as well. 10 days, and we'll be drafted some players.
Oh, we're in the single digits tomorrow.
I know. Isn't that nice?
Ooh.
Can't move it up. Can't make it any sooner. But we're in the home stretch now for sure.
Since we're 9 days away from the media mock draft.
Yes, that Wednesday. We'll do that Wednesday morning. We'll do picks 1 through 16, and the boys of XL Primetime will pick up from there. Just like we did last year, we split the duties. And I don't know if we've decided officially who's selecting for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh.
Last year we had a Hick and Martineau combo platter. Mm-hmm. And it worked out quite well, I thought, actually. Maybe we'll do the same again this year if they're available and interested. I don't know, Martineau may have to go play Pebble Beach or something, or St. Andrews. I'm not sure if he can fit us into his busy schedule as far as that goes. But and then, Tony, I'll get on a plane for Chicago that afternoon, and I'll join you live Thursday and Friday from Chicago covering the draft for SiriusXM and 1010XL. So look forward to that. I will stay off of Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff, and not look at anything Avengers-related. Really, I'm in Avengers embargo right now. I will not look at anything because it's coming out, what, tomorrow in Europe?
It's coming out sometime.
Christoph, I'm warning you, okay? I am just warning you right now. Irish Jack, do not try and ruin my surprise, because I can't even watch it till Sunday now, because I'm not going to go without my son. I'm not going to go in Chicago and not have the boy with me. We were planning on going Friday and Sunday both that weekend, so we'll just have to go Sunday maybe twice. I don't know if it's that good. I'm planning on it being that good. By the way, as I told you, DC now stands for Dystopian Comics. Right? I mean, it's all dark and gloomy, and now Ben Affleck has to growl like he's Christian Bale, and on and on and on it goes.
Well, if Ben Affleck can do one thing as an actor, it's look moody.
True. By the way, what about the Ben Affleck thing? Do you see the Ben Affleck news over the weekend? Ben Affleck went, apparently there's some show on PBS that traces your genealogy, right? And you go on, and you know, PBS is not supposed to censor any of the information, because that's, you know, they're like, you know, they're not commercially obligated, that kind of thing. They're not beholden to anybody.
Sure.
Turns out Ben Affleck may have had some slave owners in his family tree. Oh, that's not Ben Affleck's fault.
No.
He didn't even know about it, right? And probably the family did their best to suppress that horrible aspect. But Ben Affleck, apparently, this is according to the leaked Sony emails, right? You know, all that stuff, which are still being mined right now for nuggets. And he apparently requested / begged PBS to please bury it and not let it come out. Now he looks like a doofus because, I mean, what do you, I mean, come on, you didn't do it. It's not you. You could have had an opportunity to come out and say, what a horrible, horrible thing. My family doesn't stand for that, obviously, anymore, or never should have, and da 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 da, and been done with it, and nobody would care, right? I mean, I'm not going to hold against Ben Affleck. I hope nobody holds against me stuff my family did in the 1800s or 1700s or whenever, you know? I don't know.
I hope people don't hold stuff against me.
That you did. Good point, Johnny O. Jaguars preseason schedule dates and times have been announced. Have you heard about this?
I have heard about it.
We're sitting here a minute ago on a prior break, and Tony and I were discussing. Tony brought it up, and then just a good 90 seconds later, out of the blue, John goes, "Hey." Hey, I thought he was spoofing us.
He did too.
Hey, the preseason schedule dates and times have been announced. Hey,
I had the headphones on.
Was that it?
And I was working.
You were listening to Tyler on the maybe an update or something like that, hoping maybe that's where you heard about it. They'll play Pittsburgh, as we know. We already know the schedule and the order of opponents. But now the games go Friday, Saturday, Friday, which we knew against Detroit, and Thursday. Friday, August 14th, 7:30, home game against the Steelers to open things up. Saturday, August 22nd, on the road against the New York Giants. Also a 7:30 kick on that one. The following Friday, week three, the all-important week three. I think you're contractually obligated to mention it that way. They host the Detroit Lions in week three of the preseason. 8 o'clock kick, national game on CBS, and then they'll wrap things up on the road with the game that's important, the guys trying to make the roster, and not many others. Thursday,
a little torn
September
on that
3rd.
Friday date in week three. That could be the opening night of high school.
Ah.
But on the other hand, that is official fantasy draft weekend, that Saturday and Sunday, so it's kind of nice that they're not playing on the weekend. So I can, since I work
for you, it's
with part
draft
of the broadcast
weekend?
Yeah, that's when I have my big draft, is always that third weekend. of the preseason.
It's as long as it's convenient for you.
Well, that's really what it's about. I mean, don't we all wonder what's convenient for us, really?
Yeah.
Sure, Tony's not the only one having a fantasy draft that weekend.
I wonder that almost exclusively.
Right, that's what I'm saying. We're channeling Pete Prisco.
It's official fantasy
good
draft
for me,
weekend.
It's good for me.
That weekend.
Hey, Pete. I get it. You want to draft on a Saturday night because you want to probably have a beverage or 10.
And I like to do it after the preseason starts, preferably after some of the games of week three, because
that's
when the highest injury risk happens.
Well, do it on Monday then would be ideal. Monday or Tuesday.
Get everybody together on Monday.
Well, that's, you know, if you're dedicated to
you
the craft, Tony.
Online drafts. No, we do live in person. It'd be tough to get everybody together on a Monday. I can't even do Monday. I'm working Monday nights.
Big baby. Work all night? Stop it.
I'm the commissioner.
Wednesday.
I set the date.
Wednesday.
And everyone shows up at my place for that party.
Wednesday is the day. Wednesday, September 2nd would be the day for that then.
Yeah, we could do it then too.
I believe. Whatever the case, you do what you're
I'm
going to
I'm telling you
do.
Right now, based on what I'm looking at,
I hope you draft.
Saturday, August 29th, I'm having a draft party.
I don't wish specific guys to get hurt here, but anyone who do, I hope you have just drafted them 5 minutes prior. That happened, the classic, the year Kurt Warner lit the world on fire. Oh, was it 98 or 98, right? His first
99.
Was it 99 his first big year? Okay, 99. All the Vinny Testaverde owners got him in the first round of waivers because he tore his Achilles in week one.
Right.
Vinny was coming off like a 28-4 touchdown interception season. And I'll never forget, I was in a league with Joe Coward back then. I forget who the other owner was. And typically, you know, you don't make comments during the draft about who guys should draft. And for some reason, I was like, man, the guy's looking for a backup quarterback. I'm like, have you seen what Trent Green and that offense are doing this preseason? Man, you might want to take a look at that. And later that night, Trent Green went down, and obviously, you know, Kurt Warner, nobody even bothered to pick him up. Who's this guy, this grocery store clerk, whatever he is? And then he threw for 300, and you're like, well, all right, I guess.
Right.
If Testaverde's out, I need somebody. Oh, he's going to throw for 300 every week.
Yeah, I can remember being at a draft party. I think it was in 2013 I was at one when the draft was going on. There was a game on the TV. Houston was playing on TV. And it's when Arian Foster left a preseason game grabbing his leg early. And we were in the second or third round of that draft, and he had gone number one overall or whatever that year. And I'm watching the owner who took him just like this panic on their face. As not 20 minutes earlier, they had made him the number one overall pick. That was the year he dealt with that calf and that lower leg all season long, just never got on track.
Ah, it's the worst, isn't it? At least you know now. Le'Veon Bell smoked some dope last year, and you're going to miss him for three games. At least you can factor that in going into it. All right, moving off that, Denard Robinson is quoted this weekend as saying he feels he deserves to be the number one back, or at least a crack at it. I'm sure he'll get an opportunity, right? It's not like they're going to say, okay, we draft a running back. You're no longer allowed to try. Are we overlooking Denard? He had a great month stretch, right? And do you think they found that maybe he is not that guy you want to give the ball to 20 times? How do you think they feel about Denard Robinson right now?
Well, first of all, I would hope he feels that way. And he deserves to feel that way because for four games,
he's the best guy they had last year.
He played very well. You know, again, I'm not sure that he's the 16 game carry the load the entire game guy. But I don't think even if they draft a guy, if they drafted Gurley, he'd probably be a lot more of that guy. But for the most part, you need more than one running back. And I think Denard can fill a very productive, important role and not necessarily be the starting bell cow back, so to speak. So I don't think he's necessarily that. But there's certainly nothing wrong with him continuing to want to show he can be that. Once a defense's last year started playing more run-oriented after that four-game run, the running game struggled a little bit. But I believe at that time that was more the offensive line that was the running back.
Good part of it was, certainly.
Yeah. But and that's usually the case if it's not, you know, I know fans get sick of me saying this, unless a guy's really, really special, a girly level type guy, that's usually the case. It's usually more about the offensive line than the running back.
Do you think Toby Gerhardt can surprise this year? I mean, most people, anecdotally, I feel like Jaguar fandom has written him off too slow. stretch plays didn't make any sense for a guy who seems more like a north-south guy. But we forget, or maybe don't factor in enough, the injury in week one. And, you know, it's tough to get over that when you're practicing, you know, or even if you're taking time off from practice, when you're playing on Sundays, it's tough to completely get over that for quite a while if you're a running back. Do you think maybe Toby Gerhart can be a surprise with his contribution this season?
Yes. But I would not bet the house on it.
Right.
You do see that it wouldn't be a completely unique story if that happened. A guy comes along, doesn't have a great year, and then the team sort of has to make plans assuming that that's how it's going to be, and then he comes along and shows you that he's better than you thought, or that he was a player you originally signed. I don't think that will be their off-season approach, but there's no reason not to let him try to do that.
Justin Forsett could be one of those guys you talk about that you came in, got hurt, and just never really, even when he was healthy, seemed to click.
Right.
And then he finds himself in a good situation, and he has a career year last year. And they, even at the age of 30 or whatever, they signed him to a three-year extension up in Baltimore. Bernard Pierce is on the roster, too, overlooked, got released after getting a DUI with the Baltimore Ravens at one point. The Ravens seem to be pretty high on him as a compliment, if not the ultimate successor to Ray Rice. Is he, I mean, how many they keep, could you see a scenario where they draft a running back in round two or three and Gerhart, Robinson, rookie, Pierce are all in some way part of the mix?
During the season?
Yes.
No.
So you think it's three roster spots?
Yeah.
Basically.
That's a lot for the season. I think there's no reason not to see how it plays out early in training camp. But during the season, no, I can't figure where all those guys are there. Somebody would play themselves out and into the situation.
All right, just a look at where they stand right now, and I agree with you. You want to hear Denard say that. You hope Toby feels the same way. You know, I hope he comes in with a chip on his shoulder and says, hey, I got a lot to prove.
Well, Denard has shown, you know, it wouldn't surprise you to see now them be able to find a little more of a role like they started to want to find for Denard as a rookie when he wasn't quite ready for it. It was a little overwhelming as a rookie. He's shown that he has the speed and the ability to be an effective weapon. Again, I just don't know that long-term he's a long-term number one bell cow running back. If they can find the right situation in the draft, maybe they draft a guy who fits that definition. If not, you just named off a lot of pieces that they could figure out a way to get that done as long as the offensive line's improved.
Right. I mean, obviously, Adrian Peterson's a special player, but Toby Gerhart was a very effective number two in Minnesota, and you're not likely to draft a guy that's anywhere close to Adrian Peterson's talent level, but nevertheless, he can play an effective role, clearly coming off the bench in the NFL, and you know, I don't think the contract that Dave Caldwell said as much does not scare him if he turns out to be nothing more than a third down back for this team, which he basically was in Minnesota. You're comfortable paying him what you're paying him in that role, and
that's really what they signed him for last, or that was the spirit of the signing last year. It was not necessarily that this guy is going to come in and be the long-term Pro Bowl level solution. The contract was such that if he was that, great, but if it turned into this role, it didn't destroy anything that they wanted to do in terms of the structure of the salary cap.
All right, Wild West Guns and Gold Money will continue in a moment here on Jaguars Today. The fan feedback spotlight question of the day, asking you, with the additions now this offseason of Jeremy Parnell and Stefan Wisniewski, do you feel like the Jags have done enough to solidify what was a shaky offensive line last year? We'll get some of your reaction to that coming up. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, Fat Tony here with you live from Everbank Field. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, happy Monday to you. XL Primetime at the top of the hour. Mike Dempsey, John Osier, and the fantasy baseball-obsessed Fat Tony here with you now.
Yes, I am.
You are. You're really hooked in.
I've won, you know, small amounts of cash for the last 3 days in a row playing on FanDuel.
You keep playing those $1 contests. That's what you'll win.
Yeah,
small amounts.
$1 and $2 contests, right? So I'm not spending a whole lot of money. It's kind of fun. It's like going to the casino with $25. Right. And you just play until you lose your money. That's what I've done. I deposited $25 last Tuesday. I've played in at least one or two leagues every day since last Tuesday, and I'm about even. I'm about even playing.
I walk around, you know, to go to Fortunato, to go visit the king and on his throne a moment ago, and I look over his shoulder. There's Tony. He's checking out matchups.
Yep.
He's dabbling. You can't even relate to somebody who dabbles in this, can you?
Oh, no, he actually...
You got to have like 35 teams.
He's much more into the fantasy baseball.
I'm starting to figure it out.
I'm dabbling.
Yeah.
Okay. It's still... It's not easy to get... Because
the first 3 days, I got my butt kicked. But I started to figure some things out with it, and I feel a lot better about my strategy going day by day.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Strategy and tactics.
Which is why I've won a little bit of cash the last couple of days.
Tony Smith.
Yeah,
he's
baby.
He's that guy
he's building his
who goes to the casino thinks he's got a system.
Nope.
I'm going to beat the house.
At a casino.
I'm going to beat the house. Hey, you know what? Guys do beat the house. Some guys do beat the casino. Some guys do beat the daily fantasy games as well. That's the ones you hear about. The big money's out there. They're paying it out. So
there.
We'll see if you get a chunk of it. All right.
It's a system. Today, it's got a system.
Fan Feedback Spotlight. We got a system for you. It's brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. And we ask you today, do you feel like the Jags have done enough to address the offensive line with the additions of Jeremy Parnell now and Stefan Wisniewski? Tony, what did we get?
From Paolo, I got, in my opinion, Parnell has yet to prove he was worth the contract. Need to draft a right tackle to develop in the meantime. From Cristiano, it depends on how second and third year guys develop. A late rounder would be nice for depth. From Stevie, yes, keep it short and sweet. From Joey, if Parnell plays like a starter and elbow beats out Wiz, then yes, they will be okay. Hashtag maybe 2015. From Demetrius, yes, it does. Also adding a late round interior lineman for depth will shore up an improved and experienced group. From Daniel, with Doug Marrone added to coach all these guys, including Jokel, the Jags O-line looks pointed up. From Eric, I think so. Players they replace will be good depth, and if Zane and Luke improve, it could be good. From David, as a fan, I'm happy with the work they've done, but the O-line is a machine that needs constant tuning. From Black Dog Express, use Mercedes Lewis for what he does best. Add 25 pounds, make him a backup or starting O-line, and lengthen his career.
Stop it.
Why would you not want him as your second tight end?
Why wouldn't you just get an offensive lineman if that's what you wanted to do?
I think he's suited perfectly for what they're about to ask him to do for this team.
I think so, too, if he stays healthy.
Yep. From Cam, on paper, the O-line is vastly improved. Hopefully this offseason the starters will meld as a unit. From Michael, I expect a third, fourth-round pick of an offensive tackle who can slide inside to guard. From Joe, yep, the youngsters will also be bigger and more experienced this year. There will be much improvement. From Kevin, still needs to add a little more depth, but otherwise not bad. From Nick, I feel pretty good about our O-line. Now let's go get Vic Beasley. Hashtag pick Vic every day, Nick. So there we go.
Fine. Yeah. Hey, a couple of things. One, you know who else hasn't proved they're worthy of that free agent contract? Everyone else they signed to. Every single one of them, including Julius Thomas, who was worth it in Denver. Will he be worth it in Jacksonville? We don't know. Is Devon House worth the contract they signed him to? We don't know. But clearly, they feel, and look, from that standpoint, I got one on Facebook from Bill Spencer. We will see.
Yeah.
Of course we'll see. But we're asking, what do you think at this point in time? What's your best guess based on the information we have? I'm not saying they're done, but I think they've really given themselves much better options now. You know, you're starting, as we talked about early in the show, to build what you hope is quality depth or at least experience depth.
Right.
Either way, whether it's Wisniewski, Beatles, Bowanka, one of those guys doesn't have a starting job, going to have a guy that's had starting experience now in the National Football League. Same with Austin Pastor as your swing tackle guy. So
building a roster is always a percentage game. It's easy in March and April for us to fill every position on the depth chart with names in our conversation. In reality, when you sign six free agents like this, four of them, if you get four of them to play at the level that you're hoping and two of them don't, that's a pretty good free agency class. That's what you're dealing with. It's not a science. Not everything's going to be a perfect fit. Right now, when you look at their roster, you feel like their percentage chances of guys working out, of being better at different spots, of having depth, they've given themselves much more of a chance to be competitive than they had the first couple of years, simply because they've been adding talent. They've been adding drafts. They've been adding a free agent equity to this thing. it can't be done overnight. Now you're in year three, so we should be talking like this.
Here's one from Chris Wayne on Facebook. Said, adding these guys still does nothing to address the disappointing play of Jokel and Beatles. Granted, but, you know, that you couldn't, you weren't going to replace
right.
Luke Jokel, right? You, what you've done now in Wisniewski is a guy that
you've can, potentially
can push Beatles.
Absolutely.
Right?
And you've potentially, you know, it wouldn't shock you if midway through next season, if Beatles struggles, then you've got a guy that's an option. So you, in a sense, you have addressed it.
It went on to say, furthermore, I thought Belenko was a bright spot at center. I now have more questions than answers. Hashtag Jaguars today. Thank you for the hashtag. I don't see how you have more questions. How do you have more questions? Don't you feel like at least they've gone and gotten some guys that you're not going to hand him the job, like you said? But
right. Just because a guy is signed right now does not mean you're saying you are starting. You know, this is
Jeremy Parnell starting. I'll tell you that right.
Right.
Now.
But
he signed and they will start him.
He signed in the first
I got you. I got you. Oh, you're saying right. A guy you sign now.
A guy you
sign
now by definition has some question marks. If he didn't have question marks, he wouldn't have been out there 5 weeks in.
Several people still advocating saying it's a great start, but we need to add Cam Irving to the mix as well. I think you're getting in the range now where you're getting less likely that they're going to make a move like that. I thought Cam Irving was a possibility if he lasted to 36.
Yeah, that's...
Now you're looking at a lot of replication, right, if you go that route. I'm not going to completely rule out an offensive line. We've even seen some recent mock drafts speculate that a guy like A.J. Cann out of South Carolina, who's got that flexibility, but now you've
addressed
that.
I bet you wouldn't see that mock now.
Not today.
You probably wouldn't. But... I'd be surprised if interior linemen with what they've done is your first or second round pick.
I would be surprised as well.
I just saw something on Twitter coming down the pipe. We had the
preseason schedule. Not Avengers related.
No. We had the preseason schedule dates and times announced earlier today. The NFL is saying the regular season schedules will be released tomorrow.
Probably late in the afternoon.
Night. Ah. Live on NFL Network from 7 to 10.
Well, perfect. Yep. That's even better for us. No, none of these greedy talk show hosts on this station other than yourself and the Helmets and Heels crew.
I'll be talking about
we'll
it live,
talk
baby.
About it until Wednesday morning.
So it's Tuesday. This
Tuesday
night.
That's
interesting. Okay.
Tomorrow night. You better hurry up and get your entry in if you haven't already on Fortunato's Predict the Schedule contest.
Here.
Are you up there?
I'm not.
Ozone not on there?
I'll go do my show. I'll come back over here at like 10:30, put my name
now, granted,
on the
that's,
board.
That'll be good. That's quite a list.
Next
there.
Morning.
Rhino, Logs, Baselli, JP.
Yeah, JP. That's solid, man. That's basically the four horsemen of Jacksonville Jaguar coverage.
There's some free time up there.
And Joe.
What you consider it? And Fortunato. Yeah, he's the fifth Beatle in this scenario, I think, clearly. All right, that's pretty much going to wrap it up for us today. We're hoping to catch up with some of the guys in for off-season workouts over the next several days. Primarily, I really want to talk with Luke Jokel and find out how this offseason is different than the ones he's experienced so far since coming into the National Football League, going into it healthy for one thing, and what he expects out of himself.
You want me to send you my story from Jaguars?
I want to talk to him
myself
on this program in that seat because I'll get the true scoop.
I'll bet you will.
Jokel.
I'll bet you
all right? Other than that,
maybe
John,
he'll come in here and talk Avengers with
John Ozier. Maybe he will. He's welcome to as long as he hasn't seen it yet, and considering he's not in Europe, there's a good chance that he hasn't. I wonder if it's going to leak online before. I'm not going to watch it online. I would not do that to myself. Johnny, what do you have coming up at Jaguars.com?
Well, schedule tomorrow night, which would be a big deal. And
glad Tony could program your writing for you.
A lot of pre-draft.
Tony's already going to be talking about the schedule on 1010XL. Why would you feel the need to write about it once he's talked about it?
Yeah, I'll probably take a couple of days off.
Oh, okay.
I'll send you the audio link.
All right, Johnny. Good to see you, man. Great work as always. Check him out at Jaguars.com and, of course, on Twitter at John Ozier as well. See you when we see you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Which is probably tomorrow walking by the window.
Yep.
Tony, I have a feeling for him. Thanks to all of you out there in Radio Land. Great job by Tyler Devitt today. So job by Joe Fortunato. Great job by Fat Tony. For John Ozier, I'm Mike Dempsey, XL Primetime. Coming up next, thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.